I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Oh, today we have an anointed preacher in the house, amen. Our Father, Apostle Joel, amen. Oh, shall we rise up to our feet as we put our hands together and welcome Apostle!
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
While you're standing, can we share a word of prayer, please? Father, we thank you for today and thank you for another opportunity to encounter light as it comes from your word. We pray, Lord, for your direction and your blessing and for the help of the Holy Spirit in teaching and in understanding your word in the name of Jesus. Bless us today, Lord. Give us understanding, strengthen us. We pray for those who are listening to us on the podcast, watching on the internet. We pray, Lord, that somehow you will bless someone today. Give someone understanding today and help us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, you may be seated, please. Right. We're blessed. Amen. Great. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we just started a new month. Wow. This is July the 2nd, right? And July on our calendar is a month of evangelism. And so we're going to be doing a lot more evangelism this month and also having some teachings on evangelism. Amen. But today, I just want to kind of wrap up what I've been sharing with you. Amen. And throughout the week, I've been getting calls on this message. And the more I talk to people, the more I understand the importance of what I'm sharing with you. Amen. And so I just want to continue. I don't think we can finish, but thank God that we don't have like a syllabus to complete by a certain time. Okay. So we're going to take a pause after this, and then we will come back to it at some other time. Amen. And so what I realize is that there are many different seasons of our lives. And as we go through different seasons, God brings messages that are relevant. And I've heard a lot of testimonies about people going through all sorts of things, which are beginning to make sense as they're listening to these messages I've been sharing. Amen. All right, so I want to continue sharing with you on why God allows suffering, why God allows his people to go through difficult times, to go through unpleasant experiences, to go through sometimes very painful ordeals and painful experiences. Amen. Now, I've given you a number of reasons, so I don't want to go through all of them again. And I want to remind you today, this afternoon, we're going to have a marriage ceremony. Amen. Yeah. So we will be ending the service, and then there'll be a short break. And then we will reconvene for the marriage ceremony between Amabel and our brother Aldrich. Amen. So please, if you don't have a very pressing reason for leaving this afternoon, please join us as we celebrate the marriage between our two brethren. Amen. Right. So, I think we talked about God wants you to experience suffering because it brings you closer to Christ, right? Is that what you have from last week? Okay, well, you give me what you have from last week because I have plenty of them. So, what do you have from last week? God wants you to experience suffering because what? Because what? Okay, so before that, because of the glory that will follow. Amen. And what is the next one? Because of the glory that will follow. Amen. God wants us to experience or allows us to experience suffering because of the glory that follows. Amen. So sometimes when people have gone through difficult times and they emerge out of it, they emerge so beautiful. Amen. One day somebody told me I shouldn't wash my car too often, because if I wash my car too often, the paint kind of gets old, and the car looks old, you know, sooner. So I was trying to understand the logic of it. And then I left my car unwashed. Actually, because of that, I don't wash my car like a whole lot, you know. And then, but I do realize that when a car has been dirty for some time and you take it through the wash and it comes out of the wash, even you feel good. Is that true? Especially when they clean the inside. Not just the outside. See, some of you just wash the outside and don't clean the inside because it's cheaper to just do the outside and not have to do the inside. But I tell you that when you can have them clean the inside, especially, and then clean the outside also, you know, you feel like you have a new car altogether. And it feels great. It's the same car, but after going through the suffering, the glory now begins to shine. And you look so much more beautiful after you have been through those experiences. So for whatever you're going through, I want you to know that there is glory just ahead. Amen. There's glory just ahead. And last week we read some very interesting scriptures. One of my favorite ones from last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Hallelujah. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. So you may be going through a painful experience, but the Bible says it is working for you. Your experience is actually working for you. You may be crying, but it's still working for you. It may not be pleasant, but it is working for you. See, when people are writing an exam, let's say, because some people wrote an exam this morning. But when people are writing, let's say, like a professional exam, it's about 3 hours of torment. But it worketh for them a far more exceeding and long-lasting weight of glory. Do you see? You sit for this professional exam, and if you're able to pass it, it now sets you up for a different lifestyle altogether for a long time. Are you getting it? So if you compare the 3 hours of testing with the years and years and years of glory, you know, of great salaries and wonderful experiences, then you see that your light affliction, which was but for a moment, you know, has worked for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want you to know that there is glory coming.
Amen.
Amen. There is glory coming, and it will be a blessing to experience it. Amen. Then I also gave you, God wants you to experience suffering because it brings humility, isn't it? It makes you humble, because God does not like proud people. Amen. God doesn't like pride in his people. God doesn't like people to be haughty, to be proud, to be swelling up, to feel big and pompous as though they run on their own battery. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants our lives always to reflect a dependence on him. God wants our lives always to reflect a consciousness of the role he plays in our lives. That is why it's good to learn to speak and say, by the grace of God.
That's right. That's right.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's good to say tomorrow, by the grace of God. You know, there's a scripture in the book of James which shows us how to speak. So let me just take you right there for a moment. You know, James, I think it is chapter... I'll find it in a moment and share it with you. Right. It says, go to ye that say tomorrow. Wait. Where is it? Verse chapter 5. Oh, no, not chapter 5. James 4. And what? Verse what?
13.
Okay, right there. It says, go to now. Go to now is an old way of saying, come on now. Do you understand? Yeah. Yeah. So, next time you want to tell someone, come on, just say, go to now. Right? It says, come on now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, it's talking about people who lay out an elaborate plan for your life that seems to not acknowledge God anywhere in it at all. Do you understand? It says, go to ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Do you see? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, today when you go home, I want you to, you know, really try to understand the scripture by looking for and looking at some vapor. Just put some water on your stove and let it boil and watch the vapor arise. You get it? And vapor seems to arrive in waves, and it arrives in style, and it moves in a certain way. But just shortly after that, it disappears. And the Bible says, that is your life. So watch your life on your stove today, right? And you will see that there is not a whole lot to you. Do you understand? So then he teaches us how to speak. Verse 15, for ye ought to say, says, this is how to talk. Tell somebody, this is how to talk. ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, first of all. Do you see? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Say amen. Amen. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Amen. So there is a way to talk before God. God expects us to acknowledge him in our speeches. Amen. You must not be ashamed to acknowledge God in your speech. Yesterday I was going to play golf, and before I, you know, we have a tradition of praying before we start the game. And so before I started, I said a word of prayer. And I had somebody on the phone while I was doing that. So I told the person, can you hold on a second, let me pray, you know. And then I prayed. And he found it very interesting that I'm just going to play a game and I want to pray before I do so. But you must learn to acknowledge God, you know, in all the privileges you enjoy. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a blessing to get to play that game, or any other game for that matter, because there are some people who can't swing an arm. Yeah, they can't swing an arm. They cannot lift it up and swing it. It's not going to come without a lot of pain and without a lot of difficulty. There are some people who cannot bend and get up again. So if God has allowed such functionality in your body, you not assume that you are entitled to it. Do you see what I'm saying? But our language must be punctuated with frequent acknowledgement of God and his role in our lives and in what we get to enjoy in life. The Bible says he richly gives us all things to enjoy. Amen. If you can breathe in and out on your own, that is a blessing. Because there are some people who need machines to breathe for them. Some people who need tubes and all sorts of things to go through them in order for them to keep breathing. So go back to the verse again, verse 13. It says, go to now, go to now, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year. It's like you lay out your plan. I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to be there for like 6 months or a year or 2 years, you know. I mean, it's as though you control all this time and control, you know, the measures and how much and how long you get to have or how long you get to stay in some place. And then after that, we're going to move on to another place. And he says, you lay out what you're going to do. You're going to buy and sell and get gain. There's not even an allowance for loss. You're too sure of yourself. Do you understand? So he says in verse, and he says, how can you talk like this? Verse 14, you know, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What shall be on the morrow? What shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Hallelujah. It is even a little vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. Hallelujah. So I think that we must be humble. Amen. And he says in the next verse, in the next verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. So tell somebody, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. Amen. A good Christian way to speak is to say often, by the grace of God, or if the Lord will, or thank God. Do you see what I'm saying? See, there's another verse in Psalm 39. Let me show you that verse. Psalm 39 and verse 5. Or verse 4, Psalm 39, verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, this is a good prayer. Do you understand? This is a very good prayer because you need a revelation of your frailty. You need God to reveal to you how frail you really are. Do you understand? And he says, let me know my end and let me know the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 5 says, behold, thou hast made my day as an hand breath. You know what a breath is? Yes, an hand breath. And my age is as nothing before thee. Do you see? Yeah. So you may feel like you're 39 years old or 45 years old or even older or younger. But he says, my age is as nothing before thee. And then this is the part that gets my attention. He says, verily, every man at his best state, every man at his best state, you know, is altogether vanity. The best of people is altogether vanity. Vanity means useless. And he says, every man, you know, I think it's because we don't read the Bible so much. You see, we don't read the Bible so much. That is why we're so deluded about who we are, about what we can accomplish, you know. It says, every man at his best state. So whatever he did, whatever he accomplished, however much education he got, whatever he invented, whatever job he had, the Bible says, every man at his best state is still altogether put together. Means the summation of the person's entire life is just vanity. Hallelujah. Just vanity. Amen. So it is important for us to be humble. But you see, humility is often not a choice we make. That is why God has to humble us. But in the book of James, we are advised to humble ourselves. Do you understand? Yeah, we're advised to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Do you understand? It's like you have to recognize the superiority of God's hand and then drop yourself underneath it. Do you understand? So that God does not have to push you down. Can I have an amen? Yeah. See, there's a difference between submitting and being oppressed. Do you understand? In the end, both of them will have you down. But one of them is voluntary, which is, for one of them, the force and the motivation is from the person himself. You voluntarily drop down. That means you submit. But the other one, the hand has to push you down. Do you understand? And that is suppression that comes down. Something from the top is keeping you down. Hallelujah. Humble yourself. So do it yourself. Tell somebody this is a DIY job you can do. Okay? So humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You see, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. That God will lift you up. It's better for God's hand to take you up because you are down than for his hand to bring you down because you are up. Hallelujah. So one of the reasons why people go through suffering is for humility. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. The Bible says, for thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Amen. He took them through a route to humble them. Amen. So God can take you on a journey to humble you. His aim is to humble you. Do you understand? It's to bring you to that place of humility. Amen. To humble you, he says, to prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou would serve him or no. Hallelujah. Now look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 12 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. This is Apostle Paul. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Right? Now, do you see this balloon here? This is one of Ines' beautiful balloons, which I can borrow. Do you see this balloon here? Do you see how swollen up it is? Does anyone, do you have a balloon that's not like blown up like this? You have one that you can get very easily? Bring it to me very quickly. Okay. All right. Now, this balloon here is swollen up. This is not how the balloon is created. But the balloon has an inherent potential to become like this. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right? And it becomes like this depending on what. See, this is how a balloon. This is the origins of this guy. Do you understand? This is the natural state of this person. Do you see? Cool. And it doesn't go anywhere. Right? It's right here. This is the balloon. But when you start to fill it up, do you see? You start to fill it with education. Then it starts to get some money. Ine, I cannot blow this balloon. Do you understand? You see, that is why it becomes pride. Because what this, when this thing has become like this, you see that it has achieved something that many people cannot achieve. Do you understand? It has achieved a state that makes it superior to all the others, because all the others are like this. And some are trying and they are failing. Do you understand? So anytime you achieve something that people commonly cannot achieve, you have a tendency to become like this. Because you will find there are not many people like this. This is more common than this. Do you understand? As you can see, that people are trying. See, by this time you are tired. So if it's an education, you see that they go up to this point and then they stop. So the ones that are able to take it to this level, you see, then you start to feel superior. Do you understand? If it's a marriage, you see some people get married and they are trying. You are forcing the marriage is trying not to work. And so you just throw it away. Now there are some people, they get married and the marriage becomes like this. Do you understand? Yeah, see that their thing is working. They're going on 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Silver jubilee, golden jubilee, different kinds of jubilees. You see the thing. So you have accomplished something that many people cannot accomplish. You have a car, you know, or you have a car that is nice. Because it's a different thing to have a car. And then another thing to have a car that is nice. Do you understand? There are some of the cars, when you wash them, even the glory still. Rather the wash reveals a lot of things that you couldn't see before. Do you understand? Yeah, in California, you have a lot of cars that are bald. Do you see? So you see, you have a car, and you see a lot of people who don't have a car. So when you're going by, even the way you sit in the car, I mean, and you see, when you see the people, you recline the seat a little bit, and then you pound the steering wheel, and then you just move to the left, and then just move to the right, and you know, just the whole presentation, because you have achieved something that people don't easily achieve. Do you understand? Now, when that happens to you, there is a very common tendency. That's the verse we're reading. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure because of the things that are in here, because of what I've been able to attain. Do you understand? He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, because when this thing goes up, do you see? Now this thing starts to go. You see? It's now above measure. That's not where we need it. Do you understand? We don't need this thing here. Now you have become too big. And your size and your pride has... You have become above measure. It's too much. Do you understand? So he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. That means to prevent exaltation above measure. That's why they put this guy over here. Can you see it? So, now this guy's job is to keep you down where you belong. Do you understand? And you can see when you're here, we enjoy you more. You get it? You can have all your education. An education is not an evil thing. It is a blessing. Do you understand? If you're married to someone who is educated, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have someone who can reason. You understand? When you say something, it's like the person is over here. What? You get it? You say board meeting. Say meeting board. What board? I mean, do you understand? You see, it's a blessing to be married. It's a blessing to have children. It's a blessing to have a car. It's a blessing to have a house. All these things are blessings, but they are a blessing as long as they remain here. Do you see? Then we can enjoy it. I mean, we want balloons here, but we don't want them on the ceiling. Can you imagine if when you came here and say, Aldridge is getting married today, we're going to have balloons, and all the balloons are on the ceiling. When you take the photograph, the balloon is not in it. Exalted above measure. Exalted above measure. It's just gone too far. So, they bring this thing. And I tell you, this thing is a weight. I tell you, and it's tied to you. No matter what you do, it's there. And it's good for you that there is something in your life that makes you shut up and listen to someone. It's good for you that there is something in your life that makes you sit down and let someone talk to you. There are a lot of people who would not even go to a church because of their success and because of something they're doing well in. You can never be too successful to need God. God and success are not rivals. You can never be too successful with anything to the exclusion of God, that I'm doing so well, I don't need God. Do you understand? You can never, God is not a rival, you know, with any of the things that any human being can accomplish. That is why the Bible says every man at his best is still vanity. Because the truth about all of this is also that it is vanity. Do you understand? All it takes is a pin. Ine, do you have a pin? Okay. A pin, like something that can make a hole. Because, you know, Ine usually has everything. You can ask her for a kitchen knife. You can ask her for a chopping board. I mean, anything, right? Yeah, look at this. Every man, can you imagine that? Do you see? You can't even see what I'm about to use. Wow. Rich, can you see it? You can't even see it. You just have to believe I'm holding something. Wow. But you can't even see it. Can you imagine that all of this is just, that is it. That is all it takes. This is it. This is it. Do you understand? Yes. It's no more. It's no more. So you are really that fragile. And that's why the guy was praying. He said, Lord, help me to understand this. Because many people do not get this simple revelation. Do you understand? You need to pray every day that God will help you to understand your relationship between your success and how easy it is to lose it. And how easy it is to come from the top to the very bottom. Do you understand? Right now, you know, weight or no weight or nothing, this thing is done. It's not going up anymore. You know, I mean, and this is it. Ini, I'm sorry I spoiled your balloons, but this balloon, its future is finished. So whether it's a big balloon or a small one or a medium-sized one, it's the same thing. They're all subject to the same things. So God doesn't want you to be too proud. Yesterday, I was watching a soccer match on television. Yeah. And then as I was watching it, I saw them, the guys came to, you know, the side of the pitch, and then they held out a certain number, you know, and they were just waving it, you know. And when they do that, the players know what it means. Doesn't mean the game is over. It just means you. It's over for you. Yeah, the game is still going on. Others are going to play, but you, it's finished for you. Come, come, come. And you see the players just coming, walking off the field as though the game is over. It's not over. You know, as you're on the field playing and tackling and so on, you must remember there's somebody on the touchline who can call you and just say, come, come. They just have to wave something like that. And when they wave it, you see, you know what it means. And you're supposed to come. So you are, as you are tackling the thing, there are rules. And so you're supposed to be obeying them. And play the game with the consciousness that any moment you could be called out. When you have that in mind all the time, it keeps you in check. No matter how well you're doing. Do you understand? And it keeps you in check. And that is the reason I'm only explaining why some people, God allows Christians and people who go to church, why God allows them to enter into seasons of difficulty. So this is the guy who started so many churches. This is the guy who wrote about half of the New Testament. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, something painful that I could feel. Do you see? And he said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, you know, to buffet me, you know, means to really have its way with me. Do you understand? It's like the messenger of Satan was having a buffet with me. All you can eat. All you can do. Just shake him up. Hey! And the whole purpose was lest I should be exalted above measure. So I don't go up there. Because if Paul is talking about all these revelations, you know, some of the revelations he talks about, you know, he says, I knew a certain man. I don't know whether it was in this life or in another life. He said sometimes he was exalted, he was taken to the third heavens. I mean, if your normal language is full of third heavens and second heavens and so on, nobody can even understand what you're saying. Do you get it? You come from a place, you come from an era and a place that we cannot even relate to. Do you see? So what is the next verse? He said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. Do you see? Thrice that it might depart from me. That means I prayed to God three times. You see? Yes. 140-day fast. Followed by a 60-day fast. Followed by another 40-day fast. You see? That this thing might depart from me. And verse 9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's God's answer. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you understand? In other words, you need to have that weakness for my strength to be perfected. Do you see? Yeah. Then he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest in me. Do you understand? So you see that when people are going through these things, contrary to how they usually feel, they are not abandoned by God. But rather, the more weakness is found in you, he says, his strength is made perfect. You see, God's strength is more visible the more weakness there is found in you. The more, as you are having difficulties and so on, his strength is not far away at all. God's presence is with you as you're going through difficulties. And the more of it you are enduring, the more his strength is made perfect. And that is why Paul is saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. I mean, if you knew a preacher who every few days is arrested, you are probably not likely even to go to his church. A pastor who goes to prison often. Do you understand? Yeah, it's just somebody has started a church down the road. Oh, really? The day you want to go check it out, when you go, he's not there. When you ask, where's the pastor? Oh, they arrested him on Thursday. Do you see? Yeah. You're in the shopping mall, and then you can see some commotion. It looks like people are gathering. When you get there, the pastor of the church you attended last Sunday, you know, they've caught him, they laid him on some table, and they are whipping his bare bottom. You start to say that, you know, this church, is it a good church? The man is not anointed. He's not called by God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But he says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Last week, I was showing you a verse from Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, which talks about how God, you know, did not take these people. He says they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Let me just make sure that I also have it. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Right. He says, and they journeyed, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and spake against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Did you see the Lord sent? So you can encounter fiery serpents that came from the Lord. At least according to this verse. Do you see? The souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way God took them. It was a very difficult thing. Now, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 shows that God actually knew a shortcut, but he intentionally avoided it. It says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. God led them. Can you see that? So God is leading them, isn't it? Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Can you see that? So God led them the longer route on purpose. So I don't know what is taking too long in your life, but God may have led you the longer route on purpose. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It may be taking time because God has allowed it to be so. Now, that doesn't mean you're abandoned. But God has his reasons. Like this one says, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God had his reason, isn't it? God was trying to keep them from something. And because of that, he made them go the longer route to get to the place. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness and of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the people. Hallelujah. If you ever thought because of your sufferings that God is not with you, you believed a lie. Do you understand? You believed a lie. It is not true that just because people are going through difficulties, it means God is not with them. There was not a moment when God removed himself from these people. He says during the day, he went with them as a pillar of cloud. During the day, he covered them like a cloud. So the sun, the heat of the sun, you know, was not burning them, and they were covered. Then in the night, when darkness came and they couldn't see, then God brought light. He came and he changed his presentation. He changed his manifestation and became a pillar of fire to give them light. So they had light to go by during the day and they had light to go by during the night. In your time of darkness, what you should be looking for rather is the light. You should be asking, you should be saying, it's dark. And then you start looking for the light. Because God has not left you without light simply because it's dark. God has not left you without a way to survive. In every difficulty, there is a way to survive. There is always a way to survive. And you just have to look up to God. You just have to look around because God always provides a way for people to survive their time of darkness. Can I have an amen? So it may be a dark season in your life. It may be a very difficult time in your life. But believe me that God has provided a way. Hallelujah. God has provided a way, a way, a way. He said to lead them the way. And of course, if God has brought you to a place you're not familiar with, why do you throw him away? You're going to get even more lost. Why do you throw God away? And some people do that in their time of difficulty. They cast God away. And they say that it's not been worth serving the Lord because they're in a time or a season of difficulty. But if you throw God away in a wilderness, how are you even going to find your way? You're bound to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to take a lot of wrong turns. You're going to make a lot of wrong decisions. And you end up being worse off than even before. Hallelujah. That is why our times of difficulty are times for drawing closer to God. There are times for more prayer. There are times for fasting. There are times for waiting on the Lord. There are times for seeking the face of God. There are times for humility and asking God, which way should I turn? Asking God, where is the pillar of fire? Where is the pillar of fire? Where is your light? Show me your light in this darkness. And God is bound to show you the light. Can I have an amen? Amen. I hope that makes sense to someone. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then the last one for today and for the season. God wants you to experience suffering because he wants to test you. God wants you to experience suffering because he wants to test you. Now, according to the verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2.
It says, not only that he might humble you, but to prove thee. To prove thee means to test you, means to prove it, to verify. Do you understand? To verify. Kawi, do you have another version? Can you give us another version for this verse? You know, maybe New American Standard or any other version you have. It says, God led you, see, he says, remember every road that God led you on for these 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or no. Hallelujah. There is no one who gets promoted without a test.
Isn't it?
There's always some test. There's always some test. Any process that aims at any significant outcome often has a series of tests introduced at different parts of it. Do you understand? When they're making anything that has to go through a process, it's tested at different points to see whether it is becoming what it must become. They don't leave it till the end before they test it. That's why when you're going to school, there's a test at every turn. There's always a test. Even when you've been taught for a few weeks, there's a little test to see whether what has been taught has actually settled. Do you understand? And sometimes when people don't pass a test, they are repeated. You are forced to repeat it because whatever you're going through is a necessary foundation and a necessary part, you know, of the ultimate outcome. By the time we finish this thing, it must have all these things solidly built into it. Hallelujah. So he said that he wanted to know what you were made of, whether it worked. Amen. If you would taste the food in your kitchen as you cook it, you know, and be tasting it, you are likely to come out with something good than to leave it and finish and serve it for your guests to call you and say, please come. Do you understand? Say, please come. Hallelujah. You don't know that when you meant to put salt, you actually put something else. And pour a lot of sugar into your soup. You see the thing. So then when you taste that thing, you see this peanut butter soup didn't work, or this light soup didn't work, or whatever soup you were trying to make. They say, oh, this is a Thai soup that I was trying to. Vietnamese something, something, something. You see. But you know that you didn't taste the thing. And the thing has become some way. Hallelujah. Right? So he says that God took you down the road just to test you. Amen. Everybody will go through some tests. Amen. If you're going to be promoted in life, you're going to go through tests. And you must pass the test. Amen. Let me read this verse with you. Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. Acts chapter 28. And from verse 1, Acts chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Verse 2, it says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Right? Now verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, do you see? There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Paul had gathered together what? A bundle of sticks. Everybody say, a bundle of sticks. So he had gathered together a bundle of sticks. But not everything that looks like a stick is a stick. And you don't know that what you have picked up is not a stick, because some vipers look like sticks. So the apostle had gathered all these sticks together and carried them. And it wasn't until he brought it to the fire that the heat of the fire exposed what he was really carrying. So, you know, this is the reason why God took them through the wilderness to test them, to see what was inside them. He said to know whether you would obey his commandments or not, because a lot of people would serve God for something. Many of us naturally go to God when there's something at stake, when some difficulty, we want something, you know. All of us turn up our prayer lives when there's some kind of trouble. We all pray more when there's trouble. Is it true or false? Yeah. So if God wants to talk to you often, he'll probably show you more trouble more often. Are you getting it? Yes. If that's what it takes you to come, then if he wants to see you more often, then you have to have more trouble. Do you see? But he said, I just want to know what you're made of, whether you would keep the commandments or not. And go back to the Paul scripture. He says, Paul had the thing, and then the heat brought the viper out of the collection. And many times there's heat in our lives. You don't know who you are until you have experienced some heat. Are you getting it? Yes. The squeeze brings out what is really in us. When you take a tube of toothpaste, it looks so nice and, you know, beautiful. Meanwhile, inside it has colors. And you never know what it is. When you take the toothpaste and you, you know, just remove the cover and you hold it down, nothing drips out of it. Everything in it is waiting for a squeeze. Do you understand? When there is pressure applied to the same thing, then you see different things now coming out of the tube. That's when you know what you really have. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes when people are in a relationship, then they start to say, oh, we are so in love. You know, we feel like we are so compatible with each other. You know, it's like we are made for each other. You know, why? How do you know that? Because we never fight. Yeah. That's the sign that you should wait a bit. No heat. So you don't know what you have. You've picked up what you think is a wonderful stick that is bringing warmth. Do you know why Paul picked up the sticks? Go back to verse 2. It says in verse 2, it says, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Do you understand? Because of the cold. Pastor Charles, it's because of the cold. You get it? And a lot of guys pick up sticks because of the cold. Because of the cold. The present rain. And because of the cold. Do you see the thing? Then we get to verse 3. He says, when he had gathered a bundle of sticks. Do you get it? Yes. Enough solution for the cold. Do you see? Then he laid them on the fire. And he thought it was relaxation time. Then there came a viper out of the heat. Not knowing that his troubles were now beginning. And you see, now the viper fastened upon his hand. Yeah, because you know, that particular thing you have picked to solve your problem also becomes the thing that can hurt you the most because of its proximity to you. Because it has come so close to you that it can now hurt you the most. Are you getting the picture? It says, there came a viper out of the heat. So everybody needs heat for the viper in you to come out. And sometimes you don't even know what you're capable of
until you get into some heat. Then the ideas that occur to you in your heat, do you see? And in your seasonal heat, must now begin to tell you what to even pray about. Do you understand? And you ask God, Lord, help my temper. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Change me on the inside. Do you understand? Because you look cool and nice to everybody, but inside, there's something that even you don't know is there. But when the heat is applied, that's when you start to know what is inside you. So God said, I want to test them. I want to test them. So I know how to get to the place from here to here. But no, we're not going to go there. I'm going to take them around this way, and that way. Or just to see whether they want to follow me or they want things from me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you want to follow the Lord or do you just want the Lord to do things for you? If you didn't have trouble, would it even make sense for you to open the Bible and read? Just for its sake. That it's just a new day, it's a new morning. Let me just read the Bible to see if God has anything to say. You know, would you even go to church if you didn't have trouble? If you did not have problems, would you even go to church? See, a lot of people think that church is for people who have problems. And therefore, if you don't have a problem, then you don't need God. But God is not someone we need because we have problems. Hallelujah. Amen. God solves problems, yes, but that's not the reason why we follow God. Would you serve God if you didn't have any difficulties? Would you pray if you didn't have any difficulties? Would you even respect a pastor, even to sit down with a pastor for counseling, if you didn't have difficulties? Do you understand? But all our difficulties have the effect of humbling us and bringing us to respect the things we must respect. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then the last verse I would like to share with you, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and from verse 32, it says, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven to the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation?" Then he said, by temptations, can you see? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So God is explaining to them what it took for them to come out of Egypt. He says it wasn't just signs and wonders and miracles. There was war also. Can you see? And there was also great terrors. Scary things, scary experiences were all part of the journey out of Egypt. Hallelujah. So God's manifestations are not only in wonderful signs and miracles and testimonies like what Ini was sharing with us today. That's not the only thing God does. But people who are following God must expect to see temptations. Do you see? They must see signs, wonders, and war also. Do you see? And God's mighty hand, a stretched out arm, and also great terrors and scary, amazing, fantastic things that you wouldn't choose for yourself, but which God chooses for you. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many, many more reasons why God's people go through difficulties. But I think we can bring it to a close at this point. Amen. And we'll continue. Next time we come back to a subject like this, we're going to continue with all the reasons. Amen. Don't forget the book, Losing, Sacrificing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying, is a book you must have and that you must study, and it will help your understanding greatly. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let's bring the service to a close, because Aldridge is beginning to get... Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Ask somebody, did you understand the message today? What did they say? Hallelujah. Just pray, everybody, and talk to God and say, Lord, please help me. I don't want to be proud. Help me to humble myself. Humility must be a DIY job for you. You must do it yourself. Don't wait till God has to humble you, but just know your own frailty and say, Lord, help me. I'm nothing without you. I am no one without you. All that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe it all to you. And so help me. Ask God to forgive you for being so proud and being so full of yourself and being so swollen because of some few accomplishments or some few things that you have been able to do or achieve. Ask God to help you to just come down and be humble, so that he does not have to come and humble you and bring you down himself. Just ask God. Say, Lord, please help me. Oh, yes. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you, as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer to you. Lord, before we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me, to make me a child of God. I want to be a true Christian. Or maybe you're here today or watching us on the internet or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. That if you died today, you are not sure whether you would go to heaven or not. This is an opportunity for you. God is coming your way today. God is reaching out to you, and God wants you to come to him. Don't turn this opportunity down. So if you're here and you want to pray this prayer with me, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to start a fresh relationship with God? You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? You want to be serious with God from today? It shouldn't take a test to humble you, to come to God. It shouldn't take a misfortune, a tragedy, to turn your attention to God. You can voluntarily submit yourself to God. So is there anybody here like that today? Right. Why don't we just pray this prayer together? And if you're watching on the internet or listening to me on the podcast, we can all just say this prayer together. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart, Lord,
I believe with my heart, Lord,
that you are my master.
That you are my master.
I confess with my mouth,
that God raised you from the dead.
Only you can save me from my sins. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood cleanse me. Lord Jesus, from all my sins and all my weaknesses, please help me to live for you. I cannot make it without you. I need you in my life. I am nothing without you. Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. Please be Lord over my life from today and for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And before we go today, we want to come to the Lord's table. And brothers, sisters, we are one. And our lives have just begun. In this, can I get one? We are one. And we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood. And we'll sing that song of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shout to God, shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward. Happiness 100-fold, live forever. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Hallelujah. He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Ye have no life in you. Ye have no life in you. You know, there is you and there is the life inside you. And it takes something to keep that life going. If you don't have that life, there will no more be you. You are you as long as there is life. And God is showing us how life comes. Amen. Vitality and living, it comes from Jesus. And he says, anytime you eat his flesh and anytime you drink his blood, he said, you put life into yourself. Hallelujah. You know, there's a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 28. It says, 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 20. It says, then Saul fell straight away along on the earth and was so afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. Right? And a woman came to Saul and saw that he was so troubled and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice and hath put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto the words which thou speakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. Hallelujah. There is a correlation between what you eat and what strength you have. And today, as you come to the Lord's table, I want you to consider it as an encounter with strength. Hallelujah. An opportunity to be strengthened by God. You're going to take in something that will bring life into you. Maybe you are fainting. You're not doing well in a certain aspect of your life. Or you are almost on the verge of giving up because the going is getting too tough for you. But today God is bringing renewal of strength. Life is coming into you. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over this bread and we pray over this wine. We ask, oh God, that you will transform it from just mere bread and wine made by man into what it really signifies, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed for us. Because the scripture says, unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. We have no way to continue. We have no way to continue to be strong against the challenges, against the adversities, against the difficulties, unexpected turns in life. We don't have what it takes to continue to navigate the terrain of life. And so we pray for strength this morning. Take this little bread and infuse it with your power, oh God. Let it bring strength. Let it bring vitality. Let it restore faith. Let it restore trust. Let it restore supernatural energy, oh God. Let it heal backslidings in the name of Jesus. Anything that is going down in our lives, may it receive strength and begin to go up in Jesus' name. Failing bodies, oh God, sicknesses and diseases that are being diagnosed and others that are yet to be diagnosed, oh God, in the name of Jesus, may our bodies receive strength from above. In the name of Jesus, let this be medicine for our bodies. Let this bring renewal of strength. Let it bring renewal of zeal. Let it bring renewal of confidence, Lord. Let it restore broken relationships. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it bring back hope for the future. Let it bring back strength for continuing. In the name of Jesus. Let it bring restoration back to God. I pray for all who are backsliding in their heart. Let the bread restore the relationships. Broken relationships with God. Let the bread and the wine bring restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. You may take the bread with me. And say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Take the wine. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love. Again, for your blessing today. Thank you for your favor upon us. Thank you for opening new doors unto us. Thank you for new opportunities in the coming week. Thank you for the grace of God multiplied towards us. Thank you, oh God, that counsel that is taken against us in dark places, it's being brought to nothing. It's being made foolishness in the name of Jesus. That anything that has lifted itself against us or against anything you have given to us, let our enemies perish as God arises in the name of Jesus. Let this be a blessed week for your people. Let it be a week of blessings and favor. Let it be a week where the lines fall for us in pleasant places. May we be the advantaged and the favored ones in the coming week. In the name of Jesus, whether we travel by land or by air, we pray, oh God, that the angel of the Lord shall encamp around God's people. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that you will smile upon us in this coming week. Deliver us from evil. And strengthen us, oh God, for any temptations that lie ahead. May we pass every temptation. May we pass every test. May we endure every temptation. May we endure every test, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Change us, oh God. and make us more and more like you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor.